Welcome back to session 23. This is called ME and the Expectation of the Self. In this session, we are investigating a theme that has emerged over many years of working with recoverers, a high expectation of the self. It has become such a common thread weaving in and out of our own and so many other people's stories that we felt we needed to trace how this phenomenon may have created some of the behaviours that lead to a severe breakdown of a person's health. So, firstly, we need to explain, what does this mean exactly? Well, it has long been recognised, and we have discussed it in previous sessions, that chronic exhaustive or pain conditions seem to go hand in hand with typical A-type behaviour. The majority of sufferers would be the first to admit that before their illness, they would fit into at least a few, if not all, of the following categories. Can you relate to any of these traits? Fast-paced, driven, tenacious, perfectionist, high achiever, dynamic, always available to help others. It stands to reason with this kind of profile, you are more likely to make higher demands on yourself and indeed have certain expectations of the self than those who are more laid back and slower paced. Phase four in the recovery process, as you know, is the internal search. This is the phase where we have to be prepared to piece together everything that will have contributed to our health breakdown. It's here that we begin to take personal responsibility for our choices and behaviours so that we can ensure anything we have been thinking or doing that has had a destructive effect is eliminated. For those of us that have dug a little deeper, we may have uncovered the fact that we share a heightened sense of responsibility, which leads us to take on the lion's share of responsibilities, and often that includes other people's problems. An elevated, and in many cases destructive, expectation of the self means you have felt it your responsibility to sort out problems by yourself, smooth things over, take charge of situations, try to control outcomes, please others, make decisions for others, help others and put their needs before your own, fix other people's lives or problems, make things better, keep others happy, be the life and soul of the party, even when you don't feel like it, and make up the difference when others fall short. And another common denominator is deep feelings of guilt that you experience if you don't do any of the above. Does this sound familiar to you? The difficulty of recognising this behaviour in yourself is that it will have become normal for you. It's only when you try to look at the way others live their lives, you realise that many people do not wade in and try to sort everything out for other people. They can listen and observe without feeling guilty, allowing others to have challenges and problems. And more importantly, they can show empathy without the compulsion to get involved or take it on personally. For those of us who find it almost impossible to stand back and let go, it's easy to see how it causes us feelings of anxiety and overwhelm. Your brain is coping not just with your life, but with everyone else's as well. This is a great contributor to the brain fog and cognitive impairment. Can you see now why your system became overloaded and frazzled and could no longer function? We have touched on this before, however. What we haven't looked at is, why are we like this? What causes this overdeveloped sense of responsibility that leads to a punishingly high expectation of the self? The answer is often simple: childhood experiences. We can imprint these behaviours from our parents. If you have been raised by overbusy or anxious parents, you will have learned certain patterns or developed coping strategies. The most common theme that we have picked up, though, is that too much has been expected of us when we were young, in one capacity or another, and a pattern developed. In Lucy's interview this week, she traces this back to having to take full responsibility for her siblings when she was only 5 years old. This is too much, too young to have that responsibility thrust on her. In dysfunctional families where parents argue, drink, rely on drugs, or there is a breakup to the family unit, it affects children to different degrees. Emotionally sensitive children will often feel unconsciously that they are somehow to blame and feel compelled to do something to try to make things better. And they will in their own way try to create the harmony they crave. Children are not equipped to understand or handle these situations. And so even though they may look as if they've taken it in their stride, internal anxieties will be present. The origins of the anxiety loop. We have noted before that horrible feeling that we experience when our thoughts go into overdrive and go round and round. It can tip us into a state that could be described as a kind of anxiety disorder. In the work of Edmund Bourne, PhD, called the Anxiety and Phobia Workbook, he identifies how multiple factors like heredity, genetic predisposition, cumulative stress, can come together to set up an intense anxiety response in certain individuals. He says, some experts in the field of anxiety disorders propose single cause theories. Such theories tend to oversimplify anxiety disorders and are susceptible to one of two mistaken lines of reasoning, the biological fallacy and the psychological fallacy. The idea that your particular difficulties are just a psychological disturbance neglects the fact that nature and nurture are interactive. He has identified four ways that children become adversely affected. 1. Parents communicating an overly cautious view of the world. These parents are forever warning their children, don't do this or this will happen. They will be told every day to be careful. This can set up a feeling that the world is a dangerous place, causing a tendency for a child to become an adult who worries excessively. The physical impact of heightened fear or threat, we know, is overproduction of adrenaline and damaging cortisol. 2, parents who are overly critical and set excessively high standards. This creates a feeling of never being good enough. Children grow into adulthood working overtime to please others. The criticism of parents becomes internalized, so as an adult you will be very self-critical. This creates an insecurity which may lead you to become overly dependent on a person or place that makes you feel safe. 3, your parents suppress your expressions of feelings and self-assertiveness. These parents teach children to suppress their feelings and impulses. They will learn that it's bad to express themselves, and may have experienced punishment or shame when they dared to be themselves. It's here that the seeds are sown, that the real you is bad and has to be negated in order for people to approve of you. Emotional insecurity and dependence. This is an interesting one. Burke tells us that the experiences of neglect, rejection, or abandonment through death, divorce, as well as physical or sexual abuse, cause us to feel insecure and seek a person or place to become dependent on. We can become very emotionally needy adults. At the chrysalis effect, we feel that what is very often overlooked with a sensitive child is not getting our emotional needs met. This is a form of neglect or rejection. Children are often expected to cope with overwhelming situations and expected to take on too much too young. What is neglect? What do you think of when you think of neglect? We can have visions of child being hungry with poor hygiene. For a sensitive child, there are more subtle ways they can be affected. For example, not being listened to, being made fun of, an adult having an indifferent attitude to how deeply small things can affect them, not being taken seriously, not having choices validated, not being given any personal attention, public criticism, thrusting a child into a situation they are ill-prepared to deal with, confiding in a child about difficulties with adult relationships or financial hardship. Elaine shares her experience as a sensitive child in a family of six. She says, "This theme of a child taking too much on young shoulders was a real aha moment for me. I was the youngest child, so when my brothers and sisters were all out playing or dating, I was still at home and witnessed the horrible rows between my parents. My dad would drink and get aggressive, and one night I remember my mum getting me out of bed very late, dressing me to pretend she was leaving my dad. We hid behind the dustbin to frighten him. We never actually went anywhere, but now I can see what a very distressing thing this is for a child to experience. I was a very sensitive child and would not just shed a few tears at a sad film. I would become heartbroken and sob. There was a lot of teasing in our family. My brothers and sisters would laugh it off, but I used to take it seriously and get really devastated by their jibes and jokes and criticism. When I got upset, I would get accused of not being able to take a joke. This is where I had to learn to suppress how I really felt to be accepted and keep others from criticising me. A volatile home life was the norm for me, and I grew up to feel I had to protect my mum. I would stand up to my dad, I would fight her battles. I would tip alcohol down the sink so he couldn't drink it, and look for things to sell so I could help her with money. She told me too much. I saw too much, and although it seemed normal, it had an after effect. The pattern was pretty much set. I took on too much responsibility in every job I ever did. I had a mortgage on my own business by the time I was 20. Looking back, I suppose it was my attempt to gain my own security. It does seem a lot of responsibility for a young person. When things went wrong, I never asked for help. I just coped and rescued everyone else too. It can change. Nowadays, things are different. I ask for help. I leave others to sort out their own problems, and although I still have the temptation to wade in, I've learned to resist and release. I don't agonise and analyse as much as I used to now. When someone is rude or unkind, I have processed a lot of the old childhood triggers, so I've been able to grow up that scared part of me, which has helped me to let go and not take things so personally. The denial of adults in how behaviours affect children is a big part of the problem. I spoke to a mum of a child who was suffering ME, and when I asked her what she believed triggered her little girl's illness, she said, "I don't know." And then she said, "Me and her dad split up, but she took it really well, and we're back together now." When I asked about what her daughter was like, she said, "Everyone loves her. Before she got ill, she was always so bubbly, happy, and kind. And she tries hard in everything she does. She used to go to drama, dance classes, every night after school. She's always saying, why can't everyone be happy, and gets really upset when she hears sad stories." I was very honest with this mother. I explained about sensitive children and helped her to stop her own denial that this breakup will not have affected this little girl. These kids become achievers to escape home, make people proud of them, to prove themselves worthy. When things go wrong at home, kids can blame themselves. They are trying to make things better that are out of their control. Can you relate to any of these reactions from your own childhood? Remember in session 17, Liz Bowie told us her story about how as a child she worked hard at school and would get up really early because her mother drank and she would keep her home. She became the adult in the family and sorted out her own life at a very young age. And eventually, it caught up with her. And when she was faced with too many other stressors, she became physically ill and suffered for years with CFS and fibromyalgia before learning how to release the stressors and the old behaviour patterns. Kelly shares her own experience of being a sensitive child. She says, "When I was younger, my mum and dad were such great parents in the sense that they loved and supported me and my brother in everything we chose to do. They never expected us to be or do anything we didn't want to do. They loved us for who we were. However, unfortunately, due to my dad being made redundant, we lost our home and were repossessed and evicted. It was a really difficult time emotionally and financially. We moved to a temporary flat before moving into a council house. I didn't realise the impact it had on me until later. I became very worried about the finances and managing money young. My parents only learnt from their parents, so I don't blame them, but they never managed money very well. Therefore, I never did, and was always worried about it and didn't make good choices. But it made me act older than my years as I took on responsibilities of worrying about my family and the choices they were making financially as I was growing up. There were always conversations about not having enough money. They both seemed to work really hard in their jobs, but there was always more months left at the end of the money. So this is partly where my drive came from to want to create a different life. Even though they were happy enough, they never had jobs they really enjoyed. It was more about paying the bills and getting by. And it gave me passion to want to live a different life, one where I loved what I did every day and had an outcome that not only supported me, but where I was able to make a difference to my family in the future. But it set up this reaction in me, that whenever I had money in the bank and anyone around me I loved or cared about needed money, I loaned it to them because I felt guilty if I didn't. Now I know it's not my responsibility to bail them out, but I felt like I had to. Today I can see why I struggled with this, but for many years it was unconscious. I didn't ever really realise why I took responsibility for my family. I also believe it stems from worrying what they would think of me. If I had money in the bank and they needed it, if I didn't loan it to them, they would think I was being selfish. It also set up deep fears unconsciously within me about owning my own home, being able to support myself, managing money, because of what happened in my childhood. Isn't it amazing how powerful our unconscious mind is in our everyday life? We all make our decisions based on our beliefs, which many of which we aren't even aware of. The work you are doing now on the recovery pathway will ensure you become aware of them. They are now conscious. You can make different choices. A belief is only a belief because we choose to believe it. So what will you choose to believe differently from now on? The perfect childhood. It may be that your ill health was due to other factors. You may have had an idyllic, secure childhood with lots of positive parenting, which is fantastic. If, however, you can resonate with having a high expectation of self, take the family background questionnaire in the well-being exercises. Getting the torch out. If you notice anything that may have caused you to be overly driven or anxious, it's very liberating to be able to get the torch out and see how that started. And of course, it is a pattern that you can intercept and break. It's also very important to forgive our parents if they got it wrong for us. You can bring up two children in the same environment and they will not react the same way. Many of us have siblings who grew up in the same family and they have not fallen ill with CFS or fibromyalgia. Keys to breaking the cycle. There are four keys to break this high expectation of the self and the anxiety that goes hand in hand with it. The first is living in the present moment. Learning how to be present. When you are eating a meal, experience it fully. Too many people eat on the run, standing up, or while on the computer. When you are showering, tap into the sensation of water running on your skin, rather than planning what you're doing next. A must read to release future-focused anxiety, and a master of this is Eckhart Tolle. Read his book, The Power of Now. The next key is learning to let go. Letting go is an art form and one that anyone can learn. And Susan Jeffers in her book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, makes it so easy to see how we can really handle anything that happens to us. It is our fear of what might happen that keeps us stuck in an anxiety state. And number three, developing competent assertion skills. Developing assertion skills enables us to see how we do not have to take responsibility for others. In fact, we literally disempower them if we keep rescuing them. We need to stop doing things for others that they can sort out themselves. We will tackle this in a future session. And finally, the fourth key. Trust your instinct in decision making. Remind yourself there are not right or wrong decisions, just different ones. Mastering these four supports you to rediscover your authenticity. You can be you without feeling you have to be more. You will accept yourself and treat yourself with trust, respect, love, and kindness. You can let go of regrets. None of us can turn the clock back. We can only learn our lessons and create a life that we are happy with. Can you relate to anything we have talked about today? Maybe you can, and would like to share your story about how high expectations of yourself have affected your life and health. If you would like to, then email us at info@thechrysaliseffect.com. Our top tips this week begin with your body and the calming breath technique. This week, you will learn a simple but highly effective yoga breathing technique in order to calm the nervous system. The step-by-step instructions are in the well-being exercises. Remember, you can also access more calming breath techniques in the Yoga Hub. Our next tip will support you to let go of this high expectation of self. The next time you feel anxious about someone in your life and feel tempted to jump in and help them or take control of a situation, imagine that you are on a beautiful island and they are getting in a boat. And they are rowing the boat away from the island because they're setting off to sort out their issue. Wish them well and wave them off, knowing in your heart that they will be empowered and will sort out their own challenge perfectly. Feel the peace of letting their problem go. External world, when you are talking to people, are you really listening to what they're saying or are you thinking about something else? Practice staying present in conversation. Notice how your mind behaves when in conversation. When someone talks to you this week, stop whatever you are doing and be present to their words and feelings. What do you notice? Let us know how you get on in the Facebook forum. Sharing your experiences really helps your recovery and others in the community at the same time. And we will leave you with a lovely little reassuring quote. Your past doesn't define your future. Have a lovely healing week, and I look forward to being with you on our next session.